record. Right, hi, Ben, how are you?
Barnsley, I'm really good. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. So you've been, I mean, I remember you've been painting. I mean, how did you get into the whole painting thing in the first place?
I was a little kid and I had a stereo with a radio on it and I would listen to Tim Westwood doing a hip-hop show, and then I was like 14 years of age and I was vaguely into like the punk movement, and I was down King's Road and I had no money, and I was like looking at World's End, Vivian Westwood stuff, and I went in at WH Smith's down the King's Road and I discovered this book called Subway Art, and it was the first thing I ever stole.
I remember you from being around World's End and all them times, and we used to go to the same clubs together, obviously. But then you got the Subway Art thing and you read that.
So this book, Subway Art, like literally, I opened it up and in this book were these trains painted by these dudes from New York, and they weren't trains, they were like rolling steel canvases. And I couldn't believe that somewhere in the world people were doing this thing that I couldn't possibly ever imagine. And like it literally became my Bible, and I'm like, I have to do that. So we went to the local car shop. We had no idea about spray paint. We went to the local car shop, stole a load of paint and tried to paint something, and it was just an abortion. It was the ugliest thing ever. But I had it literally changed the course of my life, and I had the bug, and I kept on doing this. I developed a tag. There was like this S throw up thing. And I literally, it was like literally my first addiction. I vaguely enjoyed art. I enjoyed running away and not getting caught. So graffiti was the perfect thing for me. And I literally did it for like every day, all day for like 20 years.
And then, I mean, how did you jump from tagging and doing those pieces to, I mean, from just tagging stuff, then you started developing it a little bit more further and developing your art and what it looked like further.
Well, like every graffiti writer can't paint. Like, when they start, they cannot paint at all. They have to learn this skill. They have to hone this skill. It's like sign writing. It takes you 20 years to get good at it. Like, no, you can't go to an art class and go, oh, this is how you do it, and then you walk out of the art class and you can actually do it. You actually have to do it. You know, you have to learn by your mistakes. So, you know, I tagged everything for like, I don't know, 5 years. Then I got slowly into like doing silver things on the side of railway tracks. Then I got into trains, and slowly towards the end, we were doing like, we were actually making the productions, like the top to bottom hole cars that I saw in Subway Art 20 years ago. We were actually doing them. I have photographs of trains that me and my friends have painted. And until you notice the wheels on the bottom of these paintings, you'd have no idea it was a train carriage. Like, they were that good.
Wow.
Like, three of us spending 4 hours painting a carriage. And then, like, over the course of, like, my graffiti career, I'd been arrested and arrested and arrested. You know, I got a fine, then a bigger fine, then a bigger fine, then a fine in community service. And the last time I got arrested, I got, like, a £7,000 fine and, like, 380 hours community service, which is, like, the maximum you could get. So, you know, I knew the next time I got caught doing graffiti, they were definitely going to send me to prison. Not because they wanted to send this, like, this little white working class kid to prison who had a job.
They had no option.
Yeah, I was leaving them with no option. So me and two friends of mine went down to paint this train yard. Like, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I jumped over the fence, and as I jumped over this fence, this car drove around the corner, and it was undercover cops, and they saw me jumping over the fence, and they nicked my two friends. Both my friends went to prison, and they'd been arrested less than me, and I was like, kind of have to stop. And it was around that time that, like, street art was beginning to happen. The Dragon Bar was open in Leonard Street. That was like a meeting point for, like, graffiti writers and street artists. I'd met Banksy down there, Fowl, Shepherd Fairey. So, you know, also, when I got into graffiti, like, it was the most dynamic, amazing, crazy art form ever in the world, and it was going to change the world, and it was going to change the art world. And then 20 years later, it didn't. You know, graffiti
but
had
then
the,
you painted up, though. I remember at the Dragon Bar, you used to paint and do a lot of working together with Banksy, doing a lot of his stuff.
Me and him worked together loads. Like, me and my old girlfriend Lucy, we had a birthday party down there. And there was, like, Robbo, who's now dead, Drax, PIC, like a load of old crazy graffiti kids. And this little kind of like slightly chubby, dark-haired dude came up to me and he's like, "Yeah, you've been on, I'm Banksy." And I was like, "Dude, I really like your stuff." Because graffiti was going to change the world and it didn't. So towards the end of my graffiti career, as well as like getting arrested and like have the, like the threat of going to prison, you know, it didn't deliver and I was getting so bored of it. And then, like I said, like this street art thing began to happen.
And you and Banksy went out and cut loads of painting. You did a load of the big Banksy pieces together, didn't you?
Yeah, like we painted together for like at least 5 years. I went to Australia with him. We painted a load of stuff in the zoo in Sydney. We threw all the cardboard things to the monkeys in Melbourne. We got arrested in Berlin. I'm sure we got arrested somewhere else. I went to Palestine with him. Yeah, we were like, you know...
Oh, you did the wall of the...
Yeah, I was with him when we did the first segregation wall.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And then, but something that you're very well known for is there's big letters, alphabets that have been painted everywhere. I mean, you come to London, particularly in London, those things are all the way up Hackney Road. I mean, how did that come about? You're interested in typography and taking it from just, you know, quite a, you know, regular street art thing to this typography, really refined thing that you do.
So graffiti to me was all about exploring words, exploring letters and exploring typography. So graffiti is about twisting and morphing and shaping and making letters like unreadable but look fucking cool. And so when I stopped doing graffiti, you know, I always had like a mad interest in typography. I always loved handmade, like I hate Illustrator. I love old, hand-carved, wooden printing blocks. I love, you know, letter sets. I love letter sets. I've got, like, thousands and thousands of letter sets. I like actually putting them on a piece of paper and rubbing over the top of them and they cracking. You know, I always love the handmade element. So when I stopped doing graffiti, I just went back to, like, what I loved. And, you know, I also wanted to do something different to what everybody else was doing. Like, you know, Shepard had his Obey and his stupid character. Banksy had his Banksy tag and his little rat. You know, Fowl had, you know, their stuff. You know, every D-Face had his stupid thing with the croissants coming out the side of its head. You know, I wanted to do something different. And nobody was doing blockbuster letters down whole streets on shutters. And, you know, what I did... It's no different to graffiti. You know, I was hanging out with Ket in New York a few years ago and Ket had lined up all these shutters for me to paint. And we're literally just blasting out rows of shutters and Ket's like, "Dude, this is just like doing whole cars." It's just graffiti that people like and can kind of get their heads around. And by not signing my name on the bottom of it or sticking up, you know, TPG or Moas or some other crew name, it's not graffiti.
But it's very much identical, you know, like you're just saying that you wanted to develop your own thing.
Yeah.
What you do is very much identifiable as you, very much more than any other graffiti artist, I would say. That you've, and everywhere I go in London, I'm like, there's another one.
I've literally done thousands of them, like in like Australia, South Africa, Osaka, Tokyo, God, Beijing... Yeah, everywhere, like all over America. There's like.
Then you do other things apart from the lettering, because all the stuff that you used to do as those prints and stuff, you know, you did the things with the kids with the train car and lots of illustrated other stuff as well.
So, like, the stuff that I paint in the street, like, nobody ever pays me to do it. Like, occasionally somebody's like, "Yeah, we'll pay for the paint." So I kind of fund nearly all of that. Like, next week I'm going to repaint the wall on Mother. Just because it's like 2 years old and it's getting shabby and Mother's like, "Oh, we ain't got no money." And I'm like, you know what? I'd rather have the wall than have £1,000. So, you know, I've got paint, I've got a ladder. So, you know, I spend 2 days painting for nothing. And on the back of that, I sell stuff. And
that's what you love doing then. Still got the passion to paint.
No,
it's
totally.
Never become a job for you.
No, it's never not.
Become a thing that we've just become like a factory... faceless kind of job thing. You still have the love of painting.
Yeah, and it's like, so I, right now I don't have a studio, but you know, when I do have a studio, I spend like 3 weeks in the studio, a week traveling, a month in the studio, and I make canvases and I make screen prints, and that's pretty much how I make my money. and a lot of that funds the stuff that I paint on the street.
And then that very well-known thing happened with you was the thing that, you know, like him or not, not normally, David Cameron took a piece of your artwork and gave it to the President of the United States as a gift.
David Cameron, like, I've never voted, and if I was forced to vote, I definitely wouldn't vote Conservative.
Yeah.
However, David Cameron was really, really cool.
Oh, really?
Like, I was so impressed by him.
What, he liked your work?
He liked my work. So, okay, so the reason why I think I got the job is, so I did a job for Anya Heinmark a few years ago. So Anya Heinmark is best mates with Samantha Cameron. 2 weeks before I got the phone call, The Observer did a double page spread on me on this alphabet street that I think that I did in Middlesex Street. So I think The Observer gave them the idea of working with me, and because of Anya Heinmark, there was the contact to get in touch with me. Also, Shepherd Fairey had done the Obama Hope campaign, so they kind of thought maybe Obama liked street art. And obviously Banksy was going to say no, so I was second on the list. So, yeah, it was Friday night. I was in my studio. I put the kids to bed. Went back down to my studio. I was cutting out these stencils for this thing that I was going to paint on Hackney Road. And my phone rang, and it was Anya Heinmark. And she's like, "Hi, Ben. Weird request. Would you be interested in giving a painting to the most important man in the world? Can't say his name. If you are, can I pass your number on to Downing Street?" 10 minutes later, Downing Street phoned me up. And I'm like, yeah, totally cool. It'll be amazing. And this was Friday, and they're like, "The only thing is we need the painting by Monday." I'm like, how long have you known about this? But this is always the case. So then we spent the weekend emailing photographs backwards and forwards, and they decided on a painting called 21st Century City. They came around my studio, picked it up, drove it to Heathrow, put it on a plane, flew it to Washington. It's now hanging in the White House.
Amazing. You've got a big picture in the White House. And then after that, presumably, people just started... That was a major piece of publicity.
It went mad. Like, so Andy Coleshaw, or Andy, whatever his name is, the guy that run the... He was David Cameron's head of communications. He was the one that got nicked for all the phone tapping on the news right, world with the gingerbird. He phoned me up and he's like, "Ben, story's going to break in the press tomorrow. How comfortable are you with talking to the press?" And I'm like, yeah, I've done it loads of times, totally comfortable. And he's like, "Any problems, any questions, here's my number, phone me up. If you're not comfortable with saying anything, don't say anything." And then literally the next day, I left my house, I'm walking to the studio, and I'm on the phone to somebody, and I can just hear ping, 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 just like email after email. I got to my studio, and like CNN were outside, BBC. So I literally spent like 4 days just like doing back-to-back interviews with every like newspaper and television crew in the world. And literally that weekend, every painting I had anywhere sold out. Like one gallery in London sold like £80,000 worth of paintings in like a weekend.
Yeah. And I've just seen it that people love your stuff. And then you do a lot of, you've done a lot of shows as well, independent gallery shows and gallery shows.
Yeah, I work a lot with galleries. I probably do like one solo show a year and then do lots of group shows. I got a bunch of friends that are like amazingly talented artists that haven't had the breaks that I've had. So as much as I can, when I get offered a solo show, I do like a 3-man group show. Word to Mother, who did my like Storm in a Teacup t-shirt. This kid from Bristol called Sick Boy. I work with them a lot.
I know Sick Boy.
Yeah, Charlie's great. Right? So yeah, I help out my friends as much as I can. Because, you know, to me it's like we're like a community of like weird artists that have like, we're all totally different, but we've all fallen into this world, strange, weird world of street art. And yeah, and we're mates and we have a laugh.
Good. And I mean, you know, like I said, going right back to the beginning of the thing, I mean, I've known you since the back in the World's End sort of days. Yeah. And that you're very much somebody who's, you know, come up with all the things that have been going on in London since 30 years or something, and made something happen, you know.
It's weird, you know. I spent the last 3 years in kind of California, San Francisco, and then like Laguna Beach, and, you know, I'm now back here, and like just walking around Shoreditch and Old Street and just seeing the people and
it's your old stomping ground.
It is my old stomping ground, and it's like, dude, this is my home. fuck that boring sun shit where the weather never changes.
I'm always happy to see you.
I know, and I'm happy to be back.
I spoke to people down there, like, Ben Hines back in town, you know. I know. Oh, that's good to see you. That's cool, great. And then what about Japan? Do you done much in Japan before?
I've done a few. I've been at Japan quite a lot. Like, first of all, through fashion. I used to do, like, me and JJ Noki, and I used to have a studio upstairs in the Dragon Bar, so I used to make T-shirts and, like, hand stencil T-shirts and sell them in Japan. I've always been into, like, Japanese style. Not only Japanese style, Japanese attention to detail. They do things so, so well. Like, yeah, just amazing. So I've always been into that. Yeah, I do a show in Japan, like, once every 2 years, and never sell anything, because Japanese people don't buy art.
Some people do.
Yeah, but not like a bunch of people. But I love Japan so much. You know, it's just an excuse for me to go there and do a show.
Great. All right, well, hopefully we can catch up with you next time. And
certainly come around. I'm around for a little while.
It's great to speak to you, Ben. See you in a bit. Thanks.